The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, aka Dave from LA. Just want to thank you all for listening today. Today is February the 23rd, 2016. And we have a live show for you today. Before we get started, I want to say big ups to my man Robert and congratulations to you and the family as the baby will be coming very shortly, my brother. So happy to hear that. My man Robert Means, good luck. Good luck, much love, and much respect to you and the family. So, everyone, today is Tuesday. I want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show because I know there are other things that you could have been doing instead of listening to Tando Radio Show. And I sincerely appreciate you and all of your efforts, your energy, your love, support, respect, and your overall commitment to our overall development everywhere that we are, which is universal in nature. So with that being said, everyone, let's ensure that Black Talk Radio Network will grow just as you have grown over the past 5, 10, 15 years of your life, and ensure that Black Talk Radio Network will be here for the next generation and for those of friends and family and acquaintances and people that we don't yet know will have an opportunity to engage with Black Talk Radio Network. How do you do that? It's easy. You support it. And you support it in so many ways. Tell your friends, tell your family members about it. Donate your time, donate your professional services, donate your agenda, donate your energy to ensure that Black Talk Radio Network continues to grow in the direction that it needs to go. And also, you can make monetary donations to support the network so that that will help ensure that it will be properly funded in order to do the things that it needs to do. Because one of the things that's so important with our overall movement. And I like to say it's a movement because it's fluid, it's continuous, it's developing, it's nurturing, and it's also maturing. And it's so important that, you know, there are other things and other organizations throughout our grasp that have major backing from advertisers to agenda support, propaganda, and everything else. And those organizations are the ones that you are familiar with. You've heard of them before. But see, something like Black Talk Radio Network, and if you look at some of the mainstream media compared to the, I don't like to say it's the alternative media anymore. I like to say it's the truth movement media. And yes, it's different. Not everyone is going to get everything completely right and everything else, but the overall sincere attempt, especially here at Black Talk Radio Network, is just that in itself. We are the truth movement that is happening, and it's been energized by you and is growing. So please ensure that it will stay and it will actually be able to do and live up to its full potential by your support. There's so many things that we can do. There's so many things that we've done in the past that has caused for the demise or the removal of organizations and people and individuals that were sincere in nature. So only way that we could buffer that is by us all supporting the things that do what we want them to do by more than just a mere casual want, but want to do by a very committed effort of energy to ensure that it does what it needs to do. So support Black Talk Radio Network and all the programs that are here on Black Talk Radio Network. Tando Radio Show being one and all of the other ones. So you know, if you can donate, make monetary donations, donate your time, donate whatever it is that you can, reach out to Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty is very, very much so attainable. Reach out and see what it is that you can do. Make monetary donations, and that will help and facilitate and move this along the way, because this is going to take an effort that is going to be energized by us all to meet the ends and means of our overall free will and our desires and our commitment to our excellence of our people, community, and family, and overall global and species agenda. So, also, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook and check us out there. Check out some of the articles we posted there. I've been kind of slow on the articles lately. We've been quite busy trying to get settled in so many different things, taking a lot of my time, but still was able to post some things that I thought was very interesting for you, the Tando Radio Show listeners. And we want to go to those, and then we're going to get into today's show. Now, first posting that we had today, New York Times editorial board endorses economic fascism, supports the banning of the $100 bill. Been carrying this a while, talking about this now. Why is this so, so important? It's so important because this is what they want to capture you in their net of economic enslavement even further. Because as they continue to take away the $100 bill, which is has a very large position in the physical cash area, they're going to take all of the other ones also. This is giving them strength while it is actually making you financially weaker and more dependent upon the system to provide for your standard of living and your quality of life, and to be the saver, the savings of your hopes and dreams, which I always like to say that, you know, dreams have a way of turning into nightmares, and nightmares have a way of becoming reality. That's what they're going to do. They want you to start to get rid of the physical cash because it's going to drive you into their digital system. And their digital system is going to have such a control over you that you won't be able to as easily facilitate and move into an economic sphere that you can develop outside of their control. That's what it's really, really all about. It has nothing to do with the lies and propaganda and the distortion and the deception that these people are engaging, talking about it's because of terrorism, talking about that terrorism is what they created. It is what they leverage with, is what they produce, is what they incentivize, and what they actually finance themselves through their own entities and all forms of organized crime. The biggest, most people think that organized crime is something from some mafioso or gangsters out of different neighborhoods of the world. Well, the real organized crime is at the taxpayers, where the taxpayers' currency goes to. It is at the so-called highest level of governance and authority over the lands in which the people now reside in. Those are the governments. That is the organized crime at its highest. And they're pushing this agenda for many multiple reasons. They want to give a fictitious boogeyman that they've created. Well, it's not a fictitious boogeyman. It is a boogeyman. This boogeyman is real, but it has a facade of what its real nature and where its real origin is. It's nothing more than the very same people that you salute and actually will, a lot of people throughout this country will give their overall lives to defend. And those are the ones that are actually, as you speak, contriving and conspiring for your demise, your overall control. So one of the reasons they want to get rid of the cash is because it allows you some form. One of the things that cash does do is that it does give you a measure of position and power so that you can engage in an economy outside of the tyrannical side of the government, the overall, and that's what it does. It does give you that, but that's not criminal in nature. What is criminal is with the exactions that these governments impose on people, taking what is not owed or not due. And that is illegal, but they get away with it because the people accept it. And I don't think they're going to accept it much longer. But you just think, as they start to take away this cash, guess who is going to adversely affect the most? People of color within our community. Because our community is some of the people that have to rely on cash in order to live and maintain their overall quality of life and standard of living more than anyone else. And this is going to be very, very disastrous for them and for us because of that. And this is what we need to know and understand and position ourselves accordingly. They are moving towards getting rid of cash so that they can enslave you even further. The expiration of cash is starting to run out. It worked so well after the acreage of the plantation enslavement, and it worked so well because they got people in debt. Now the next format of the enslavement program will be digital. They're going to enslave you digitally. And that, my friends, is going to be much, much more difficult in order for you to navigate. I was just at a store today, and they had a machine, not a person, a machine. They said, this machine only takes cards, plastic. They're going to make it where you can neither buy nor sell without operating within their system. You don't need to wait for the mark of the beast. You've been living under it since you've been born here. And it continues to take more and more and more. So check out that Times article. Really, really good one. And things that you need to know. Next comes from BusinessInsider.com. The U.S. military U.S. military may put more weapons in South Sea of China. Why? Because we already know where this is going. This is going to be very, very ugly. It's going to lead to the overall expansion of the global nuclear war that we will actually witness, in my opinion, within the next coming years. The GNW is on its way. Then we have today's show. Today's show is February the 25th, 2016. And the topic for today is the situation in Venezuela is truly one which will be much bigger here in the United States. And we're going to finish what we weren't able to finish yesterday and talk about why is Venezuela so relevant and what is it really signaling and telling you that is coming to your doorstep, to your cupboards, to your refrigerator, to your home, your dinner table, and to the feet of your children's stability. And why is this so, so important? So that's what today's show is going to be about. Next, we have from globalresearch.ca timeline of the CIA's intervention in Syria. And this one is first published in October 2015. This particular timeline provides evidence that the U.S. government and Obama in particular bear a significant responsibility for this Syrian war. And as a result of that, so check out this article. It goes back for a while and shows the overall timeline that these organizations, see, just because it's new to you, just because it's brought up to you, one of the things that these people always do is they always engage in something. They repeat what has worked before in the past. But let's take a look at this really quickly. And this one says, this particular timeline provides evidence that the United States government and Obama in particular bear a significant responsibility for the Syrian war and the results of that war. Obama approved elements of the CIA's plan to go back over 65 years ago. The CIA meddling is distinctive from the Pentagon's failed plan to train moderate rebels not covered in this timeline. From 1940s and 1950s, if you want to understand the origins of the authoritative rule in Syria today, it is important to go back to the 1940s and the 50s to see the role the CIA played in that land. See also here page 122. In the late 1940s, the U.S. policymakers grew alarmed when the Syrian government, bowing to public pressure, move this down, refused to let a U.S. oil company build a pipeline through its territory. Washington also found that the strong anti-Western sentiment and the large Communist Party in the country connected that Syria was drifting leftward. The CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, laid plans to overthrow its three-year-old civil government. CIA operatives met with right-wing military leaders in Damascus to discuss installing a military-supported dictatorship. This is what you're going to see everywhere. It's always a coup d'etat that this government has always engaged in, and for the purpose of stealing resources. And yesterday we heard when the CEO of the United States gave a speech at the ASEAN meetings in California, in Rancho Mirage, California, talked about Syria and what does Putin really want and expect that he's going to gain. Well, it's been the exact same thing that the U.S. has been doing forever. It's the colonization and colonizing of other nations because they have resources. They don't do this with countries that have no resources. They target the resource for a particular reason, because resources are what you need to have in order to control and to enslave the global population. This is the agenda. This is no conspiracy theory. This is the conspiracy agenda. And this is something you can smack in the face of all people that talk about conspiracy theories, because those individuals are nothing more than people that don't want to admit and don't have the moral convictions or the fortitude to stand up to the local bully, even regardless of who that bully is. They will only do what's in their best interest and not even realize that the over so-called conspiracy agenda is to destroy and kill them. And they will. And more than just physically, they will destroy and kill them spiritually because of which you will surrender. So check out this article. Real, real good one. Give you some understanding of what you're really dealing with, because history is so, so important. It's not, and I'm not saying that everything here is true, but it is important for you to know. And then you'll start to see the correlation to things, and you'll see that they are validating and substantiating a lot of the historical information, which makes it more truer than otherwise. And you can now make decisions off of that to protect yourself and your family. Very, very important. So check out that article. Really good one. Next one we go to. This one comes from theloco.de. Says, U.S. sending 5,000 tons of ammo to Germany. One of the things that happens in military movement all over the world, they have different ships, different equipment and supplies that are strategically placed throughout the world. A lot of them are on barges, on ships out in the middle of the sea. But one of the things also that happens is as you move towards any form of global war, you saw it in World War I, you saw it in World War II, there where the supplies of the armies are placed, strategically placed in abundance throughout choking points and in strategical points throughout the world. This gives you clear indication. This is small. 5,000 tons of ammunition is not very much. But what it does is it's telling you and leading, when you put everything together, it tells you exactly where we are. We're on the verge of GNW, Global Nuclear War. So, real good article. Check this one out. Read between the lines and see what's up. Next, we have from Sputnik. London Stock Exchange in merge talks with Deutsche. This is a good one, especially for the traders. You need to know these type of things and be up on this, because as you start to trade the market, the Forex market, you need to know what's going on. You need to know about the London Stock Exchange, and you need to know why is that relevant out of the city of London. What that really means and everything else. So this was a good understanding for you guys. And these are the type of articles as a Forex trader that you're going to have to read so that you can increase your overall likelihood of being on the right side of the trades. The more you know, the more fundamentally sound you will be in your decision making when it comes to the technical aspects of trading the Forex market, and that will bring you great, great gains. It will give you more gains than losses. You still will make some losses, but you will have even more winners than you will have losers. It's some of the things that you're going to have to really start to get into. Is what I learned from being in the Forex market is that the more you fundamentally know and understand what's going on in the world, that means that you are involved in the world global economy. and not just from an economy of where you stand in the neighborhood that you live in, because the world is much bigger than the neighborhood or the block that you live on. You're going to have to engage these things, so important, and you will be happy that you will. This is why a 4X person that really knows fundamentals can talk about anything that goes on in the world at any time, because that's your playground. And this is what you need to learn to be able to position that for your overall gains and your overall good. So good article there for that. Next one comes, Shattering Dreams. Is Saudi Arabia's oil power just a myth? Yes. Saudi Arabia is finally realizing that the ability to influence the oil market is in fact very limited. This is the article. And I'm going to say one more thing. Saudi Arabia may actually be running out of oil. This is why they want to have the grab of Iran and of Damascus in Syria. See, Saudi Arabia's real objective here is Iran. And how do you get to Iran? You got to go through Syria first. This is very, very important and what the intrinsic value of that really, really means. So those are the articles that we have there in Tando Radio Show for today. Not that much there, but it's still enough for you to stay abreast on some of the things that's going on in the world, and so that you need to know. And it's not the mainstream media stuff that you will find on the propaganda that you will find. This stuff is actually, especially for you, for the 4X traders, this stuff is key that you know these things. It's keystones to your overall development and being able to leverage it accordingly. Okay, so listen, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into the show and we're going to talk about Venezuela. We're going to listen to two videos and then we're going to talk about what's really going on in Venezuela and why you should know about it. And because, believe me, what's happening in Venezuela has already started to happen in Canada and it's going to be here in the United States. It's a convergence of the global economy that we're starting to see, and the direction that it's going is not the one that you came from before of the past. This economy here that you participate in the United States is not getting stronger, but you must get much stronger in order to endure what is coming. You're going to have to develop other avenues of resource, other avenues you're going to have other means of revenue. You're going to have other streams of income in order for you to maintain, but especially if you're going to gain from when they collapse the common person's economy. And you're going to see how this is going to be playing out. It's not going to be something that is going to be very pleasant at all. It's going to be some tough times that we are going to endure. But the key to that is that just because you're in a bad situation, a bad situation should never change a good person. Good people should change bad situations. And this is why we're doing some of the things and the things that we're going to continue to do here at Tando Radio Show is so that we, the good people, can change the bad situation that we may find ourselves in not by cause of our own, but it will require our response appropriately to the threats that are at hand. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Then we go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to delve into this. Hopefully, I didn't get kicked out as I did. That gets on my nerves. But this is what happens sometimes. So we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. Let me just get back into the system. And
yeah, it's not happening just to you, Dave, just so you know. I can't explain why this conference line kicks us out after inactivity or whatnot. So, but at least it doesn't disconnect us.
Oh, no, I knew
that. Okay, well, at least it doesn't disconnect us.
Oh, you see, that's the most important thing, Scotty, and I appreciate that. That it doesn't disconnect us, because that's a pain in the butt. But, yeah, it does it on all of them, so. Hey, we endure. We're still able to roll with it. So, okay, everyone, we're going to go to a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk about today's conversation. If you'd like to get in, we'll talk about today's show. We will listen to what's going on in Venezuela. We'll have two videos from that, really good ones, in my opinion. And then we need to discuss, how is this going to play itself? What do you notice that's going on in Venezuela that is going to be something that's going to be implemented here? And we will talk about that. And it's so important that we do, because we are definitely, definitely in the same conditions. We are even worse than Venezuela, Greece, Cyprus, Puerto Rico, Canada, and all the other failing economies are nowhere near where we're going in this race to the bottom. Listening to Tando Radio Show, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and hit star 61, and I'll bring you up. Listen, we'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#, 549032#. To signal the host, hit star 61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all. And we are today's show. We're going to finish out where we started yesterday in Venezuela. Venezuela has some very, very key importance to it all. And this you may not know, because what's going on in Venezuela is just right around the corner. Well, it's not even around the corner. It's already happening here. It's the overall economic destruction of the common person's economy has been fully engaged, and it's only going to get worse. And this is just the initial stages of it, and it's going to be much, much worse. But there are things that you can do, and there are things that I believe that you should do. I may not know all the things that you should do, but I do know some of the things that I've know that will help and assist you in your overall trials and in the overall adverse positions that we will all find ourselves in, especially if we don't prepare. If you don't prepare, you will be at the mercy of the global economic downturn. And believe me, it will have no mercy on you at all.
I have a question.
People are going. Go ahead, Scotty.
In terms of the video, those videos were kind of low yesterday. I had stepped away from my computer, but when I came back, you could barely hear them. And I heard some of the listeners say you could barely hear them. So I can play them on my end. If you need me to play them, is it the Venezuela's economic collapse? That's about 35 minutes long. Is that one of the videos you were going to play?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, but you know what it was, Scotty? It was the Barack Obama one that was real low.
Oh, that was okay.
The only one that was low. Yeah.
Okay.
I think even when we took it off of YouTube, it was low.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it was just in. So yeah, that was the one. But the Venezuela ones are going to be loud enough. I'm gonna play it right away, and Scotty, you could kind of hear it. Then, if so, we can stop it, and then you could play it on your end. But I
okay.
think it's gonna be cool.
Okay.
Because I did start this yesterday.
I do have a question though, pertaining to this, and I was thinking about it, and we had discussed not Venezuela, but we were discussing on Tando not that long ago about the increased oil production of the Saudis. And one of the articles that I read was like they were trying to damage domestic oil producers within the United States, that was, you know, and that's why they were ramping up and flooding the market and causing the oil prices to tumble. But I think you also, you might have mentioned, you know, to also to harm Russia and whatnot as well. And so I'm saying that, you know, Venezuela's economic collapse, in my opinion, is also connected to, you know, the Saudis' output.
No, Scotty, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that's because, remember, the Saudis were in bed with the overall colonizing agenda of the United States. That's why they got into bed with them with the petrodollar status establishment through Kissinger. And yes, they wanted to totally annihilate all of the competition because they wanted to bring about a, before this global war kicks off, they want to be able to bring as much economic destruction to the economies of the so-called other governments that they will be fighting against so that they can't finance. One of the things with Russia and China is that they're expanding their Blue Navy and their technology. And Russia has some of the best missile systems in their overall military armaments actually work. They are, they're not the fancy high tech and, you know, stuff that the Americans put together, but that crap never worked. But their stuff is highly efficient and is durable. Same thing with China. Now, China has to, in order to become, because China is going to take the place of where the United States was. And so in order for them to do that, they're going to have to do the exact same things that the United States did. And that was expand their overall military. Mm-hmm. First, they come as the bearers of fruit before they come with the bearer of the sword. And this is what, you know, is really going on. And Saudi Arabia wanted to flood the market to destroy the Russian economy so that Russia couldn't spend as much in order to arm itself and to prepare itself for this economic collapse that's going to lead to global war. And what Russia is doing in return, Russia is ensuring that it's a little chess match. Russia is ensuring that Europe's economy goes before they go. How are they doing that? By continue to destabilize Syria, causing refugees flooding within Europe, and that's collapsing their economy and bringing over so much confusion and chaos. And this is going to, not only that, they're going to hurt, they hurt the European economy by interrupting the flow of oil to Europe, and it's just in many other ways from the banking side, the shadow banking side. And this is what they do. And Venezuela is definitely in that because Venezuela has always been the target of the United States for one reason and one reason only, because they have the resource in order to control and enslave people. We talked about this so many times. A business never goes out of business because it's been profitable. So don't give me this that slavery has ever ended. How could slavery ever end when it was profitable to engage in it? What they did is they just revolutionized it and became politically correct with it so you don't see it or you accept it as something else. This is why they hit you with the massive, massive propaganda and the falsehood of slavery. So this is really where we are. And Venezuela is really telling you and showing you what's going to happen to us here and how this thing is going to continue to play out. So, yeah, great. So true, Scotty. That's, you know, as we know in studying history, it's really easy to see from which way they come now. So many people ask, well, what's going on? What's going on? You ask what's going on because we don't really study history and we don't look and we don't know this enemy because they've confused us so we don't know ourselves. And then we ask from which way they come. We always know. We always know. They're coming to rob, kill, and destroy everything that you have at the appropriate time. And they're going to make you into actually entice you to be the best slave that you possibly can be, one that never questions or opens their mouth or ever takes a stand, just lays down and rolls downhill in the direction that they want you to go. So let's jump into this video real quick. And if you have any questions or comments after this video, definitely jump in. This is the same video we started when we only had 5 minutes of it. So here it goes.
But in a global setting there.
Thank you. I know it's getting late. We have a storm upon us. I'll keep it short. Yes, so that I think it's really going to be important for us to have some time to have a bit of a Q&A, a bit of a discussion here, because really, in a sense, we're sort of already kind of here all on the same page, and I don't think that I need to convince anybody here about the importance of Venezuela. It came out on a Friday night right before a snowstorm, so obviously you care as much as we all do. So I just want to give a little bit of an overview, some of the important issues, some of the larger geopolitical issues, I think, that are in play when we're talking about Venezuela, what's happening in Latin America, and why this is all important. So let me just begin very quickly by pointing something out that I think often or too often is left out of the discussion of Venezuela, and that is this little thing called colonialism. And U.S. colonialism and U.S. imperialism in Latin America has a very, very, very long and very sordid history. And Venezuela is in many ways the center of that, especially in the 20th century. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the old 1950s newsreels or documentaries about development in Venezuela, but it's fascinating. It's, you know, usually, you know, some narrator comes on and he says, come to this small isolated country in Latin America is really exploding in growth. You see the oil production, you see more oil production, and oil production is really what we're talking about here. You know, and Venezuela was made into essentially an oil colony of the United States. And to a large extent, that's how it operated for decades. Now, the reason I bring that up is because we have to understand what the Bolivarian Revolution and what Hugo Chavez means in relation to U.S. imperialism. It means the first time that a Latin American country since, you know, let's say since the CIA assassinations and coups of the 1950s, the first time that a country in Latin America was able to break free of the imperial system. And to set a course for itself, a course of development, a course of independent political, economic, social, and cultural development that was not beholden to U.S. imperialism, that was not even beholden to global capitalism, with the exception, of course, of oil and global oil markets, which, of course, plays a central role in how Venezuela is able to function. Unfortunately, the legacy of U.S. colonialism left Venezuela with an oil-dependent economy, and the Venezuelan people and Hugo Chavez and the Bolivarian Revolution was forced into a position of having to harness that in order to develop the country. So when people say, oh, you see, Venezuela is just this one-dimensional oil economy, you know, they don't do anything. They don't produce anything. They got nothing happening. They're just sitting on their oil money. The question you have to ask then is, well, why? Why is their economy set up that way? And who set it up that way? What people often forget is that the Venezuelan people have only controlled their oil for roughly 13 years. It's not a very long time. Certainly not long enough to be able to build up an infrastructure that can resist global capitalist forces. Very difficult to operate in a climate of economic and political hostility. And that really is how Venezuela's been operating. And despite all of that, Venezuela is the vanguard of anti-imperialism in Latin America. Without Venezuela and without Hugo Chavez, there most likely would be no Evo Morales, there would be no Rafael Correa, there would be no Daniel Ortega, there would be no left in Latin America, period. And so when we talk about Venezuela and we talk about the importance of Venezuela, we also have to talk about what Venezuela means for the rest of Latin America and what Venezuela means for those of us around the world who call ourselves anti-imperialists, who say that we are in a struggle against global imperialism. Venezuela means far more than just one country. Venezuela represents an idea. And that's what the Bolivarian Revolution really is. Okay, it is an idea, it is a process. And that's something that is difficult for a lot of people to grasp. And that was even something that, as Isolina was telling us, is even difficult for a lot of people in Venezuela, including a lot of Chavistas, to keep in mind that this is a process and that they've only been independent, quote unquote, for less than 2 decades, which is a very short time in the grand scheme of things. So this is leadership. That's what Venezuela has been providing in Latin America. That's why I don't want to speak for Caleb, but I would assume Caleb would agree. That's why, for me, Venezuela was such an important issue. That's why it was so central to my own political development these last 17 years. That's why Venezuela matters. Now, there's another force in Latin America that we have to keep in mind, and that is the right wing. Because the right wing is not indigenous to any given country in Latin America. The right wing is an arm of U.S. imperialism all over Latin America. The right wing is a proxy of the United States. It is directly controlled by the United States in various forms, be it through funding, through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or the National Endowment for Democracy or USAID or the U.S. embassies themselves. Okay, all of these different institutions act as conduits for U.S. power manifested in Latin America by the right wing. And that is obviously rearing its ugly head in Venezuela for all of the reasons Caleb and Isolina were talking about. It's now rearing its head in Brazil as they try to destroy the, let's call it, social democratic left-wing government of Dilma Rousseff. Whatever people, you know, criticisms or whatever aside, we know what the right wing in Brazil has done historically. And we know what the left wing in Brazil has done historically, at least these last 15 years or so. In Argentina, we just saw the resurgence of the right wing taking power, looking to undo all of the gains for working class people and poor people in that country under the Kirchner and Cristina Fernandez governments. We see all of these things, and those of us who see them through the lens of imperialism, understand how these things are connected and how what's happening in Venezuela is a reflection of an attempt at resurgence by U.S. imperialism throughout Latin America. They watched their position slip these last 15 years, and now they're striking back, and they're striking back hard. And understand that it is not simply about power for the sake of power. They want to prevent the Chinese from having relations with Venezuela. They want to prevent the Chinese from building in Nicaragua. They want to prevent any countries developing any kind of independent relations in Latin America unless it's under the auspices of organizations controlled by the United States. So Venezuela turns around and establishes its own independent institutions, ALBA, Petrocaribe, CELAC, many others that have been founded by Venezuela, by Hugo Chavez, that have had the leadership in Latin America. All of that the United States wants to undo. And what we witness in Venezuela is one way that they're doing that. And so I want to talk a little bit about how it's happening in Venezuela, how imperialism is striking back. Number one, and honestly, unfortunately, this is just an inescapable fact. They've been very, very successful at waging an economic war against Venezuela, very successful. Anybody who is, you know, calls themselves a Chavista and tells you that things are not so, so bad, they're lying. That things are tough for people right now. Things are difficult. Imperialism, the United States, the imperial system is very good at undermining, destabilizing, and overthrowing governments. They've done it for as long as any of us can remember, and they'll continue to do it. And they're doing it right now in Venezuela. This happens in the form of speculation against the currency, taking the currency out of the country, contraband out of the country, illegal exportation of commodities, illegal exportation of goods. It happens in the form of manipulated and manufactured scarcity, as Isolina was talking about. It happens in the deprivation of staple goods. Isolina was mentioning it in her address there, and I couldn't help but laugh because on my way to Venezuela, I went through LaGuardia, and they took my sunscreen. They wouldn't let me take my sunscreen through the airport. They said the bottle was too big. So I said, all right, shit, that's a pain in the ass because I get burned easily. So I said, all right, what are you going to do? So they took my sunscreen. I never did find sunscreen in Venezuela. I was there almost 2 weeks. Never did find it. Never found deodorant, which for some reason I didn't have with me. Don't know why. Never did find it. Now, for me, it was a minor inconvenience. I was there for a relatively short period of time. But what if I lived there? What if that was my everyday life? Constantly looking for basic goods for my life, for my daily life. That would get hard. That would get frustrating. You would psychologically begin to identify your personal problems with those in power. And you would say, well, shit, I can't get sunscreen or deodorant. Somebody's got to pay for this. Well, who's going to pay for it? The government. I'm going to make them pay by voting against them. Yeah, I know these right-wingers are no good. I know. But you know what? This is the only way I can say that I'm pissed off. We heard that all the time. I felt like, 10 days, like I couldn't find this stuff. I was like, I get it. I understand why people are pissed. This is the kind of psychological war that imperialism wages. If you want an interesting insight into how they operate, go look at the CIA's CIA booklet on destabilizing Nicaragua against the Sandinistas. Part of the strategy of the CIA was to make the people of Nicaragua identify their personal problems with their government. And to say, all of my problems are because of these Sandinistas. And if I could just get rid of the Sandinistas, my problems would be solved. Or at least things would get a little bit better. Maybe the U.S. will ease up on us. I don't know. This is right in the CIA playbook. We all know it. It's public information. Anybody can go look it up on Google. Anybody who wants a document, I happily email it to you. This is how they operate, and this is what they're doing in Venezuela. So when we rode the the Skyway, cable car. Thank you. The cable car up. We talked to a young woman. Her finger's still purple, so she had just voted the day before. And we asked her about this working class neighborhood that she lived in and how it all went down the day before. And she was upset. She was sad. You were in the car with me. Yeah. She was upset. She said, these people don't know what they've done. They don't even realize what they've done. I don't know if they're ignorant, ungrateful, maybe both, but what they've done is a disaster. That was what she told us. Not an uncommon position for people to have in Venezuela. She had her own grievances against the government. She wasn't happy about everything, obviously. But she understood the importance of maintaining the course of the Bolivarian Revolution, and she was devastated that in her neighborhood, which had benefited so directly from the revolution, which had been connected with the rest of the city by these cable cars, made functional by the Socialist Party and by the Bolivarian government, and they still voted against them. This is how psychological war works, and the U.S. is doing it very, very well in Venezuela. Now, we have to say a couple of other things, though, because the U.S. is not simply waging an economic war here or a psychological war. There is a very real physical war going on in Venezuela. It might not be a traditional war the way that we think about it, but it is happening. Call it low-intensity warfare if you would like. But you have thousands upon thousands of criminals on the streets in Venezuela, controlled directly by Colombian mercenaries, paramilitary organizations, and various other interests who can be directly traced to the United States. The United States gives billions of dollars to Colombia under the so-called Plan Colombia. Okay? Those billions of U.S. dollars that the U.S. gives, they're not just to fight the war on drugs. They are to fund paramilitary organizations and mercenaries and others that the U.S. and its proxy in Colombia can use to destabilize Venezuela. And that's what's happening. And that's what's been happening. Okay? And a young man who is seen by many to be potentially an inheritor of Chavez's legacy, a man by the name of Robert Serra, who was assassinated by people directly connected to the former president of Colombia. Okay? His body defiled. Obviously, a political career snuffed out, potential leadership devastated. Just the other day, as Caleb was mentioning, Ricardo Duran, very important journalist and spokesperson for the Bolivarian movement, assassinated. There is a very real war going on in Venezuela right now that we need to be aware of. Because if we're not, then we're missing a fundamental aspect of imperialism in Venezuela. It is economic. It is psychological. It is political in the form of this guy that is supposedly hope and change sitting in the White House who turns around and puts sanctions against Venezuela and calls Venezuela a threat to national security. Supposedly making deals with Cuba, supposedly opening relations with Cuba, and then turning around and shitting all over Venezuela. This is the nature of the imperial war against Venezuela. And part of what we also need to recall is that one of the ways that the country or the government is fighting back against this is by trying to reconnect itself to the grassroots in the country. Because they're beginning to understand, I think, this is my opinion here, I think the government is beginning to understand that only by maintaining that direct connection between the grassroots movements in Venezuela and the government itself will it be able to fight this off. Because the government on its own will not survive this. Ultimately, 85% of its revenue is gone because of global oil prices. Imagine 85% of the revenue of the country gone in the span of, what's it been, about 18, 20 months since oil hit its high? How do you survive that? How does a country survive that? Yes, we know it's not great that Venezuela is so oil dependent. That's obviously something that has to be addressed long term. But in the short term, we have to understand that there is an existential crisis for Venezuela. Now, I know I'm just about to wrap up here, but I want to point out something also. The missions in Venezuela. So many people I've heard, even supposedly on the left, talk about how, well, you know, the Venezuelan government, it's not about socialism. They're just buying votes by giving people this stuff, free stuff, so that they can buy their votes and keep themselves in power. And my response to that would be, you mean like giving a million families places to live? You mean like giving people this luxury, like a paved road or like electricity running in their houses? There is a psychological war also going on the left internationally. And when we address imperialism's assault on Venezuela, we also have to address those people around the world who want to denigrate what's happened in Venezuela. It's really important for us to remember that our true comrades are not people who identify as leftists. It's people who identify with the people of Venezuela and who will defend them. There are a lot of people who will not stand up and defend the Bolivarian Revolution. And those are not allies of ours. And I could point to just about every single person who calls themselves a Democrat. We could point to just about every single person who takes a paycheck from the NGOs. We can point to a lot of people, including a lot of people we know, and we have to be mindful of that. Now, I want to just close on one point. Caleb mentioned the trip that we made to Comuna Panal, Beehive Commune. And there was a woman who spoke to us, really amazing, very impressive young woman. Her name was Ana Kawana. Now, she said something that I used in one of my pieces that I published while we were there, and I'll quote her verbatim. This is exactly what she said, word for word. She said, "No volverán," which is "we'll not go back, we're not going backwards." "No volverán" is not just a slogan for a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. It's a principle. It is our principle. That's what she said, and that's what she meant. And if not going backwards is the principle of Chavistas and the Chavista movement, then surely it's our principle as well. And it's our duty to defend the revolution and to defend our brothers and sisters in Venezuela. Thanks.
All right, everyone. That was the first video. And the young man broke it down very, very well. And I hope that you were able to see and hear some of the things that's happening in Venezuela has been happening here fundamentally. We have lost our principle and we've surrendered our principle for the conference of what the tyrannists have developed for us. You think about assassinations are always of people that have the best intentions or is going against the overall direction that the tyrannists would have it to go. Let me tell you, people that really matter, people that really care and are sincere in the overall struggle and fight, in so many cases end up being assassinated. While those that collaborate and actually aid and abet and harbor the overall malevolent agenda always die in their sleep of old age. And their bed is quite warm in their illustrious establishment that they call home. And this is one of the things that we have to truly remember. One of the things that was said here about what's going on in Venezuela is that the people through the Bolivar Revolution knew what was going on and was engaging in it, but allowed that to be circumvented and steered away and detoured by pleasures and comforts. And they walked away from what was and they started to walk away and be able to be moved away from what was really going to bring them sovereignty. Chavez got repatriated their gold and then they killed him. Chavez had nationalized their overall oil for the people and they killed him. Why? Because he was going against the grain and he was going against what they wanted him to do. And they projected him as this thug and projected him as someone that was a threat because he wouldn't go along with the American agenda and program. Everyone that goes along with the American agenda and program is accepted by the government of this country. And many of them you consider your leaders here today. They're not in opposition, nor have they ever been in opposition. Those that oppose it, and as they start to develop their opposition, and when that opposition becomes a real threat, they try to make a deal with them, and when they don't accept the deal, they assassinate them. And who do they assassinate them with? The very cohorts and the people around them. Why? Because it sends a psychological message to everybody else within that who would ever think that they could rise up and defeat the overall agenda of Satan himself. But see, at some point, you're going to have to look at the truth. And the truth is going to be standing. And you will have to honestly account for if you stood for the truth or not. You could lie to someone else. You could lie to a friend, a family member, anyone on the street. You can never lie to yourself. You can never lie to the great creator, nor the universe, because your harmonic energy speaks for itself, and it speaks the truth in which you live. And it's so important for us to understand right now, there's a psychological and a physical warfare that's been going on within our community for a reason, just like Venezuela, to keep the people under check, to keep the people submissive, docile, domesticated. And I'm willing to challenge. And I'm willing to question. And I'm willing to build outside of what always takes. Now, you always hear me say, so man, the problem with a lot of us is that everybody wants to own a slave, nobody wants to be one. And at some point and at some time, we all have to want to be free, self-determining, and independent, not just for ourselves, but for everyone, regardless of who they are. And what's happening in Venezuela was a psychological and a geopolitical, economical warfare that was engaged against the people of Venezuela. Venezuela, as we speak right now, was having to give up what Chavez had was able to give back. Venezuela had to give back over 35.5 tons of their gold. Why was that? Because the bankers and the institution knew when they were fighting for their gold, when they were fighting for to get their gold back, they knew that they were going to give it to them, but then they knew that they were going to send the economic hitmen down to Venezuela to destroy and handle them for what they just did. One of the things that they do is they killed Gaddafi in this whole thing and took a lot of Gaddafi's gold and gave it to Chavez. And at the same time, poisoned him with cancer to send a message to the rest of Venezuela. You may think that you can run, but we control this and we'll destabilize it. But this is the good thing about this whole thing. If you are willing to endure the fight as a warrior, not as a soldier, it doesn't matter what they do, you always win. They're going to ostracize you. They're going to defame you. They're going to impoverish you. Then they're going to kill you. Then you're going to win. Then you're going to win. Because they can't stand up. They can only stand up and give the appearance that they're standing up to the cowards that have their heads down. But the real people that really look up and see what's really going on, see how weak the overall system is, and it will always be. When you start doing self-sustaining things, and the government right now is pleading with the people of Venezuela to go grow your own garden because they know that they are going to be continuous in this economic attack that's going to lead to global war, and that they are probably going to be invaded by Colombia and by all of those cohorts that have been governmental agents of the United States, by way of their proxy wars and by way of their so-called organizations that are nothing more than 501c nonprofits, agendas that are set forth by the government. 501c means nothing more than you're an agent for the government. Plain and simple. But see, what happens with the Venezuelan people is that now they are going through these hard times. This is why they align themselves with Russia, trying to push this off. But what Venezuela should really be doing is the people of Venezuela need to totally get rid of everything and establish alliances among themselves. Because I'm going to tell you this. There's no standing army that can ever beat the people. It can only defeat when the people go in by ways of the military, because militaries defeat military. Our army can only defeat our army, can never defeat the people. Then you'll be able to kick all of them out and give no place for them to rest within your country. Yes, they will prevent your oil from coming to the market. But believe me, as you start to rebound from that, you will be able to find new commerce and new trade among new sincere partners in the world. It's a very vulnerable time in which we're in. And I don't know if you really picked up on the correlation between what's going on in Venezuela is the exact same thing is going to happen here, particularly within the black community. They're going to get you to blame who they want you to blame for the pain that you will now see. And when you're in pain, you listen to someone that can so-called stop the pain. But we have to be wise and prepare so that we will never fall into this system of control ever again, because there's going to be an opportunity to walk away from it, as it always has been. This is why it's so important that we have leaderless movements, because leaders are always, always compromised. They're compromised either by themselves or the lying company that is around them. But it's hard to compromise the movement of a leaderless direction, because it's like water. It continues to move in the path that gives it the least resistance. Won't stop it. It will keep moving. It will keep flowing. That's what they are shaking about. That's what they are going to be afraid of. That is the only way that you will ever know real self-determining sovereignty. Because if you walk away from the system that they've created. So I want to play this other thing about Venezuela and then come back and take your calls or comments if you have any. You can give us a call at 641-715-3660 and the participant code is 549032#. Let's go to a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll definitely hit the other half of this really good one so that you can see what's really going on and what it is that you're up against. You are going to be in a fight for your overall sovereign and free determining spirit and direction. Listen to the Tandor Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032#. That's 549-032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Femi OK, and you're in the stream. Today, falling oil prices have shaken Venezuela's economy. We look at how Venezuelans are coping with food shortages and a deepening recession. So today we're linking the oil story of falling oil prices with the economy in Venezuela and also everyday people's lives. It is not an idea that we came up by ourselves. We had some help from our open editorial on Latin America, Melina.
Yes, we actually got this pitched several times by people during our Twitter chat and open editorial. So this one is out of the UAE, actually. Gopi says, what impact will the decline on global oil prices have on Venezuela? And this next pitch came from Mexico City. They actually suggested two of our guests for today's show. So we'll talk to them in a bit, and we want your thoughts on this topic. You can tweet us with hashtag #AJStream.
We always like a little booking help. Thank you very much, community, for that. In our studio, we have George Ciccarello, Ma, and George is the author of We Created Chavez and Professor of Political Science at Drexel University. George, it's great to have you here.
Glad to be here again.
And we will hear more from you in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Oscar Guardiola. I'm a Latin American writer, and I am in the stream.
Over the weekend, thousands of Venezuelans attended an opposition protest in Caracas, blaming government policies for their country's worsening economic crisis. They banged heavy pots to highlight the food shortages that they're facing. The falling global oil prices is hurting Venezuela's economy, which relies almost exclusively on oil production. Prices on goods have gone up across the board. Many Venezuelans are having to stand in line for hours outside supermarkets to get subsidized items like milk, soap, and nappies or diapers. Now, President Nicolas Maduro, who has 22% approval rating right now, admitted that his country is in a crisis, but said his political foes are waging an economic war against his socialist government. But the opposition says the troubled economy is a result of years of corruption and misguided policy. So to help us discuss this, we're also joined by David Smaldi. He's a senior fellow at the Washington Office on Latin America. David also moderates a blog on Venezuelan politics and human rights. Isabel Pisani is a student at Universidad Metropolitana. And Emiliana Duarte is a blogger at the Caracas Chronicle. So great to have you all here. Isabel, first of all, take me on a little shopping trip, the most recent shopping trip. How challenging was it?
Well, every day is challenging in order for us to buy the products that we need. In order for us to get milk, for example, at my house, I haven't found milk in a month or so. So I couldn't eat my cereal with milk in my morning, okay? For example, my last trip with my grandmother, she tried to buy meat. There isn't any meat at the supermarkets right now. She had to practically bribe the attendant in order for her to get a kilogram of meat.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So your grandma is kind of pretty fierce. No milk for a month. How does that happen?
Well, because there aren't any private production here in the country, okay? Mm-hmm. The industries that did produce the milk were nationalized, most of them, okay? On the past years, more than 238,000 enterprises in Venezuela closed down, private enterprises. And those were the ones that gave the products for the supermarket. Now, if you find something, you probably will find one brand, and it's not necessarily the best brand or the brand that you will choose. Mm. So it's kind of a forced decision, the things that you're buying at the supermarket. It's what you can find. It's not what you want.
Sure.
There isn't any competition.
Right. So, David, if you were trying to explain this to an outsider who goes along to the supermarket and pretty much finds what they want in a supermarket, how would you explain this?
Well, I think it's important to realize that scarcities are different than hunger. Now, there's a big confusion. People think that people in Venezuela are hungry. Actually, there's very little hunger here. There's actually, you know, consumption has been increasing over the past 10 years or so. What there are is scarcities, which means you can't get what you want when you want it. No, so I went shopping with my family about 10 days ago, and we got all the fruits and vegetables we wanted. But we went to the meat section. There was no beef. There was no chicken. There were smoked pork chops. There was fish and there was goat loin. And so now we're going to figure out how to cook goat loin.
Okay.
But there's food. We have food, and it's just not the food we wanted. It also means that we have to go shopping more frequently. We have to go a couple times a week. This is something that really disrupts the lives of middle class people who are used to shopping once a week or once every other week, whereas poorer people who tend to have more time than money are usually used to shopping several times a week. And so it just disrupts poor people less than middle class people. So it's something that we hear about. You know, poor people deal with scarcities all the time because oftentimes, you know, in most contexts,
I think this is generally a problem that doesn't just affect the middle class or the poor people who are exempt from the hardships that we're going through. I know of people that sleep in front of supermarkets the night before for days even. I've seen mothers nurse their children in line under the sun standing for 8 hours waiting to see not if they can buy milk, but if they can buy anything. When you go up to someone in line in front of a supermarket,
It's definitely affecting poor people more now than it did, say, 2 years ago. No? I mean, the story for several years was the story that I just gave. Now I think the real problem the government has is really in the past 12 months, it is affecting poor people because it's affecting poor people in the basic goods that are controlled prices. And I think that's what's really hitting the popularity, Maduro's popularity, is that the scarcity has gotten to the point that they're really affecting poor people as much as middle class people.
Yes, take a pause for a moment because I want to bring in the community. So hold tight just for a second. Malika, what are you seeing online?
Well, people are talking about how it's affecting them. They're sharing their own personal take with this. So Teresa on Twitter says, inflation is making my life miserable, but the real pain is the food shortage. Lines are huge and people show their worst face in these lines. And so there's this hashtag that's trending. This is a hashtag that translates in Spanish to empty shelves in Venezuela, and you see it here. You see the shelves. People are using that hashtag to take pictures of what they're seeing. But George, what do you make of these shortages, these empty shelves? Is this the worst that it's been?
Well, certainly not the worst that it's been, but we're certainly seeing a moment of heightened scarcity, as David said, in specific goods for specific periods of time. And the fact that you hear about the very same goods, often diapers, for example, powdered milk, really speaks to the fact that there are very specific sectors that these shortages are involved in. But we're talking about a systematic problem, not of this government, but of the Venezuelan system. We're talking about decades and decades of no stimulation for domestic production, in which an oil economy militates against and creates all of these disincentives that make it very difficult to produce domestically. And I think the government's response has been mixed, right? On the one hand, it's not simply a tragedy that private businesses are closing down. Many of them are closing down because they don't want to sell at the regulated prices. And the government regulates the prices because it believes that the people have a right to be able to eat meat and to eat chicken and to have access to milk instead of letting the market and the private sector set
the price. You're chatting and Isabel is just like nodding her head violently and she's sitting in Caracas. So just hold that thought for a moment. Isabel, what's up? What's up? Why are you upset?
Okay, yes, you could say at first that there were some products that were missing, but now you say, you see that you can find deodorant, you can find shampoo, you can find milk powder or liquid milk, you can find a coffee or any product. I mean, it's generalized to every product that you go, that you need in the supermarket. It's not just one type of a specific product. It's not one brand specific. It's that you can find any brand of any of those products.
Okay.
And if you find it, it's rare for you to do so.
George.
Well, that's simply, I mean, we can't generalize on the basis of one experience because people are getting milk and people are getting coffee and people are getting their household items every day and people are queuing up. And it's important to point out often for things that have regulated prices. That means that because the government protects those prices, people are willing to wait in line to pay that regulated price to get those goods. People are also waiting in line today in Caracas for television, for refrigerators. And so we're talking about a situation that, as David said, is not one of the pictures being painted internationally of sort of starvation and total, absolute lack.
Here's the thing. I don't understand how minimizing the problem in any way adds to this conversation, other than the fact that maybe you're an agent of communism. Because honestly, the problem is the model, the system, and the system is specific to this government. And it's not me saying it. Last year, Jorge Giordani, the former finance minister of Chavez, published publicly in an op-ed, he confessed to having brought Venezuela to the brink of bankruptcy in order to use public funding for the reelection of Chavez. It's a matter of perpetuating themselves in power, using our oil money to do so, and in the meantime, destroying any shred of productivity this country ever had. And it wasn't always this way. And this is certainly the worst crisis we've ever lived through. And the worst part about it is that the government is not doing, has not had a mixed response. It's had no response. And this is only going to get worse, David. It might not be a matter of hunger now, but maybe in 2 to 3 months, it very might well will be.
Okay, so Miliana, that was George actually speaking here in the studio. David is in Caracas. And now I'm going to go to the community. We're going to do a little round robin here and then come back to you all.
Right. Well, Emiliana said that it's only going to get worse. And so that begs a question that we're seeing from several people. It looks like this. Ashish says, I'm no economist. But what I want to know is why, amidst all of the other oil-dependent nations, this is hitting Venezuela quite so hard. I'd like your thoughts on that, David. What do you make of this person's question?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for the government's economic policy. I understand what they've tried to do. They've tried to increase consumption for poor people. That's admirable. But what they've done, they've basically fallen into all the classic traps of an oil economy. They've totally allowed the exchange rate to inflate. That's something that oil economies have a tendency to do. That has made this into a completely import-based economy. It's prevented for the private sector from growing. Private sector has actually contracted in most sectors. And so, of course, the current exchange rate is basically 25 times stronger than the black market rate. There's huge economic distortion.
So, David, what did you make of President Maduro going around the world getting some financial help? And he came back with some financial help as well. But
I think that's logical. Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what I would do as well. He's got to go around and try to get some funding. He's got to try and get something, because the drop in oil prices is just extraordinary. So, but that is just a stopgap. I mean, getting more funding is something that Venezuela needs, but it needs to take really significant measures to change the foreign exchange chaos and gas prices to really get a hold of what's going on in Venezuela. Otherwise, it's just going to kick the can down the road a little bit.
And we have no idea what those measures are. I mean, it's December 30th, our president announced that he was going to announce measures in January. In January, he came on television saying he would announce them later. Then he left for 2 weeks on an open-ended trip while people were standing in line. And then he comes back for his unfortunate State of the Union address, in which he announced that he didn't have announcements to make.
Bermuda market, and he was going to do gas prices. I think actually he put forth some substantive ideas, at least as substantive as you ever hear in the State of Union address.
But he's been talking about this.
He actually made concrete for that to work. But he actually did announce some measures that would work if he could actually
Okay, everyone, I wanted to stop it there. And the reason why I wanted to stop it there, because I hope that you picked up on what was really going on there. And this is what happens. When you're not prepared, you can substitute what you were hearing in Venezuela for this news agency known as Stream that is carrying people in Caracas and in Venezuela. You can substitute that for CNN, NBC, and all the mainstream media outlets in the future when the pain starts to hit you on the streets. Because what you see here is nothing more than as Sister Davis posted, the two-headed snake. Because the people fail to prepare, and now they suffer. They failed to prepare to see what was really going on. You never, ever get caught in governmental direction, because it goes in the same direction as always. It goes in the governing momentum move, which means government means to rule over people. This is the problem. There was, of course, it was part of the all colony for them to colonize Venezuela. It was more to colonize Venezuela by taking their resources and then controlling people. It's not just Venezuela, it's everywhere. What you're going to see is Venezuela with a different tongue and a different language, but the same end result everywhere. Because these governments are in one big fraternity. They have plenty of members waiting to join that fraternal order of controlling you. Ways and means, so that your ways of life will provide for their means of life. And if you heard what was going on, the scarcity or the shortage or the overall destruction of the supply chain is happening in Venezuela. Like it or not, it's happening. But see, the key of the matter is that people are thinking that they engage in these political events if they would just vote. Like the one lady did with the had the dye on her finger. While you're wasting your time voting, you should be using that time actually protecting and positioning yourselves accordingly. Because as long as you continue to vote, they will continue to rule. If voting mattered, it would be illegal. Doesn't matter what you vote. Only thing that matters is that you participate in the vote. And that you participate in the results of the vote. They say if you didn't vote, you have no reason to complain. Who the hell are they to say some crap like that? But see, we have to garnish our energy in the appropriate ways that serve you, serve your family, serve your community, and ostracize and alienate and turn your back on and remove your energy for those that want to enslave and destroy. Then they won't have anyone to capture. Let them become cannibals and eat themselves. There is a way in which we must conduct ourselves if we expect things to ever change. No longer can you go to the overall fundamental system of control in order to seek prosperity, liberty, freedom, self-determination, and more importantly, your harmonic capabilities. Because all of that will be subject, will be hamstrung, and will be captured for someone else to benefit from your life, your energy within your life. So this is the thing that you have to see, in my opinion, what's happening in Venezuela is going to be pushed on upon you. Don't just think because it's down in Venezuela that it won't happen. It's happening here. It's happening here. You're starting to see the stores, and you're starting to see, if you notice, they started the usury where they're starting to make things such as food items and other things much smaller. Have you went into the grocery store? I don't drink soda, but if you went into the grocery store, you see how small the soda cans are? This is the overall progression to cooking you into the meal that they want to serve to each other. You don't even notice. Next, it gets smaller, smaller, then it vanishes. This is why you have to prepare. And one of the most liberating things that you could ever do is to prepare yourself to provide for your family, to provide for your community, and provide for your overall self-determining direction. See, in Venezuela, they slowly, progressively moved into this because this was the overall asymmetrical warfare that was being waged against people, and they allow it to spread everywhere. And what they do is, one of the first things that they do is they spread so-called good economic times over people. Then what do? They splurge. They get used to having and accustomed to things. You hear people, I'm accustomed to this lifestyle, and so I gotta have this. So they think that they're entitled to something because their butt is accustomed to it. Then what do? They slowly allow you to think in their overall system that you're gaining. And what they're actually doing is capturing you in your generations for eternity. So they make you think that you have good economic times and that you're prosperous, so that the appropriate time through your addiction to consuming, they start to cut off, and then you start to go through withdrawals. Until they start to, and what happens when people go through withdrawals? They start to get erratical and they get feral very quickly. They start to act outside of themselves. But a good friend told me they start to act out of character, but with actuality, they're not acting out of character. They're in character. Because they've been trained to act that way. So then now, they continue to do this, and they move this all over the globe. Why do they move this all over the globe? Because it's the movement of it happening everywhere by way of the overall governmental controls. But they give you this color flag and that color flag. They give you this language and that language, and they give you these things over here, and they just completely isolate you from everyone else, so you have no attachment or any likeness to anyone else anywhere else in the world. And then what do? They drive the wedge of prosperity between. They make some poor and some rich, and then they switch it all around. And the whole time they maintain control, because we are thoroughly confused and outside of ourselves. What's going to happen here is this, in my opinion. You're going to start to see a shortage of everything. Is there a shortage of jobs? Check. Is there a shortage of overall quality of life? Check. Is there a shortage of opportunities? Check. Is there going to be a shortage of food? Yes. Is there going to be a shortage of resources? Yes. Is there going to be shortages of different staples of our lives? Yes. And when those happen, people will start to act in a way that will be dangerous. And what does that offer them? That offers them the ability to bring in even more control, and you'll be begging for it from the same people that created the crisis. You'll be begging them for a solution to their own creation. Right now, the Baltic Dry Index is telling you that goods are not coming to this country. So your overall time in which you can prepare is going to get smaller and smaller. I don't know. I just thank God that you're able to do some things today. But in the next year, next 2 years, you may not be able to do it, because this is the key. As this continues to go over, they're going to move into a global war very quickly. Because once a global war starts, your overall ability to prepare is going to be hindered greatly. These people realize that they play this game because they always win at it. It's just like any other sports. This is why they get us all addicted to sports from the male standpoint, particularly. They target men that way. And they target the women from the standpoint of drama and comfort. Oh, don't think. They haven't put you on their couches and have you to tell everything within your mind, and they write it down so that it can be used against you. Anything you say shall and can be and will be used against you in their court of law. Nothing is wasted. So what they do is they like to get us naive to what's really going on and get us to think that we have an opinion that really matters. Most of us don't even care about the truth. Only thing we really care about is what we think. Just because you think something, you have an opinion, doesn't make it true. So what they're going to do, and what they're doing actively right now, particularly here in this country, is that they're isolating you from the rest of the world. So the rest of the world will say that you were the ones in your lifestyle, and you created all of the pain and suffering that their family members, their cousins, their friends had to endure in the slave camps, in the slave factories, in the slave labor forces, so that you could have your red bottom, your whatever is out, whatever is fashionable today, your car, your quality of life, your big house and everything else. You think they don't show them people that? Why? So that they can develop the spirit of envy and hatred. Then what are they going to do? They're going to use you like they use every other country in the world, and they will use the people that they are actually pushing this message on. They're going to have you fall, and they're going to have you fall hard, and the rest of the world will say, good, Satan has fell. Babylon has fell. They gave you that story for a reason, so it can be regenerated and brought back generation after generation for their overall good. They're going to collapse your economy so that they can show the rest of the world that this was the fraudulent people of this nation, and this is what their government did, and these are what these people did. And because of that, the world had to punish them, because we don't want that anymore. And the rest of the world will be deceived into following that propaganda, and they will lead them down the same path of destruction that they led the United States. Let me ask you something about the United States. What good have you ever done that wasn't for your own selfish, beneficial gain at the expense of others? Never thought of it that way. But the truth of the matter is, it's always been that way. You were set up. This is why you can never, ever sit down at the table of Satan. It's why you can never, ever give into a deal or decide to align yourself. Because in the end, with every deal, you lose your soul. And we've lost our identity because of it. Before this system came, there was no need to purify water. The water was already pure. There was no need to have to worry about, is your food synthetic? Only food that was created, that the earth produced and bared, was good, sustainable food. There was no lack. There was no poison of the air. There was no vaccination. Every time there was sickness, you went to the earth to get from the earth to, in order to mitigate or to deal with whatever the sickness is that you had. But that wasn't enough. Your children were born strong. Your children were born with the capabilities of fulfilling themselves. But now, all of our children now have to subjugate and surrender themselves with a coat and tie around their neck. They actually have to put a hangman's noose around their neck in order to get along. And as this continues to deteriorate within this country, you are going to see the shortages of food. You're going to see the shortages of resources, from medicine, transportation, gasoline, the fundamental things that we've walked away from are going to have to become relevant again. But the bad thing of that, all of that knowledge has been dying off and has died off because we cared not to learn the old ways of sustainability. And because of that, we've come digitally vulnerable. And that vulnerability is going to put us in a position to where we would consider, even as the people in Venezuela will consider, as they're considering now, they just want relief from whomever could bring the relief. And we will also do that as well if we don't prepare accordingly. If we don't prepare for being able to sustain ourselves past everything. The government of Venezuela is telling the people of Venezuela to start creating their own gardens. But see, this is the downfall of that. What difference if five neighbors are creating a garden, there is always going to be six, seven, and eight neighbors that will be willing to steal what's in that garden instead of gardening themselves. Because what they didn't do is they never ever addressed the real problem, nor have we. We've only identified it from a standpoint of us maintaining our quality of life. We've never ever addressed it from the principles and the moral foundation of what's correct. And because of that, they're going to continue to allow the system the cause for people to take advantage of it. One of the things that they're doing with getting rid of cash is that they know that people will resort to stealing from one another even more because they won't have the cash or the abilities electronically to get what they need. So what are people going to do? They're going to have Black Friday on every day. They're going to attack people and institutions because they're hungry. And they're going to also realize that, you know what? This is more profitable by us doing that than getting back to what was always the hardest thing to do, is to develop an honest day's work for your family by honest means. This is a multifaceted attack that's happening. Venezuela is just giving you the indications that it's coming to you. It's happening in Canada. It's happening above us in Canada and below us in Venezuela. It will converge together in the United States. And when the United States happens, it's going to be far worse because you used to be the reserve currency of the world. And these governments are going to converge on and destroy and take everything that you have. And they're going to do it from this standpoint because they're going to want more from you. One of the things that you also see are elderly. They want to get rid of them. And they're targeting our young people. Because the young people will grow up into this cage of captivity and think it's normal. Digital. And then they will think that this is the best fit system because it's the only system that they've ever, ever known. Just like we think that what we have, if only I have enough, this would be so great. Not realizing the only way that we really, really can win is if we move ourselves collectively back on God's ecosystem. And I'm sorry to tell you, that is no utopia dream. That is the ever-standing, ever-present truth of the matter. Because what has everything else gotten you? You know, we don't even need to look for... You don't really need to look for the so-called iconic Hitlerism principles. They already have it all right in front of your face, from vaccinations to the taking of all of your so-called rights and opportunities, to you being told that no matter what, you're going to do this, you're going to have lead in your water, and you're going to pay for it. Let me tell you, what's happening in Flint, it's just the introduction. What they did, they allowed that to come out because they wanted it to come out so that you could think that you can do something and they're going to have it everywhere. And then you're going to think, what is it that we can do? We can't defeat them. We can't beat them. They're too big. That's why they come up with sayings, you can't beat City Hall. because they don't want you to challenge City Hall. They don't want you to challenge the overall system that they have. They just want you to obey it. In order to get people to do that, there's a psychological conditioning that you have to continuously put them under. And the one, the biggest threat is when someone decides, what if I don't? What if I decide to do something different? What if I decide to establish something else? Not trying to destroy what you have, but I'm not going to participate in what you do. I'm going to take my energy away from that and go in a different direction. And why am I going to do that? Because I looked at what you're really doing, and I got some questions about it, and I can't condone it. That's the biggest threat to the overall establishment, is when people ask questions that challenge their mistruths, their lies, their deception, and more importantly, their malevolent ways. When people do that, they realize something. We've been had. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we've been had. And it's so, so important that we prepare for what they're going to do, so that you won't be on your knees and on your belly begging for release. You can do that. And it can be done. You can never look at them as giants. You have to look at them for what it is. They're people that are cowardly. They are cowards that are hiding behind a system that they created in secret together so that you wouldn't know. Why did they have to do it in secret? Because in secret, they realized by doing it in secret, it couldn't be dismantled by you seeing it for what it really is. Because once you see it for what it really is, you can dismantle it. Don't ever think they can't be defeated. From the standpoint of not defeating them from the same consciousness that they use it from a violent way, but defeating their overall agenda and direction is what can be defeated. Your goals and objectives can be defeated, mainly by us refusing to participate. Got a caller in queue. We're going to go to this caller real quick. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to make, give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 pound and hit star 61. Venezuela has been set up just like you will be and you have been. And the key is for you to prepare for their overall trick not to capture you. Let's go to the callers that are in queue and hear from the people. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, Brother David, Brother Davis, man.
Brother Davis, what's going on, brother?
I just wanted to call you and let you know, man. I'm going to say they can't get it no better than this. They're not going to get it from anywhere else, and they can't get it as any more raw than they're getting it. Just remember, the battle's not yours. You're just a cosmocosm of what's going on. There are things you can do, and that's why we have this radio show available to you. So right. Don't, regardless of what you hear, see, or think, don't be discouraged. Because everybody has a plan, but not everybody's plan works according to how they put it together.
Right.
So just because you may be in somebody's plan, don't mean that plan's going to overflow in your life. When I say that, I mean that you really don't have no means of control, because the control you have may not extend outside, because your true power is inside anyway. And that is one of the reasons why we have to keep you focused, because in order for you to be a service to the greater whole, you must believe that you can. Listen, brother, I just wanted to call you, let you know you're doing an outstanding job. Give my best to the missus, and once again, Tando Radio is bringing stuff that you can't get nowhere else. And once again, thanks.
Brother Davis, no, thank you so much. And were you going to be able to have a show tomorrow, Brother Davis?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm trying to put the fine tuning things together because literally that's going to always take you into an area that you didn't expect that you had power, but I'll show you where it lies.
Yeah, great. Okay, so yeah, we'll put that up. Looking forward to Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis tomorrow. And Brother Davis, it's so true, you know, just before you go, you know, it's so important for us to realize that we have the power to create. So, you know, so many of us think that we have to wait for someone to tell us what it is that we have to do. You know, some people won't move until they're told what to do. We have to get back into the mindset of being creators of our own direction.
Absolutely. And brother, I'm going to tell you, one of the major things that they're planning on is that people will accept the mindset of being told what to do.
Yes.
But what if you discover something that you possess inside of you that you don't have to expose to you once yet? It changes the game. Listen, y'all be great, be blessed, and be look forward to hear it to the show tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to presenting some avenues of thought that you might not really thought that you have control or power in, but we work in a magnificent universe, and that has not been given any consideration. Be blessed.
Thank you, Brother Davis. Give my love to Sister Davis, and can't wait for Wise Wednesday, as always. Thank you so much. You know, it's so true that we have the capability to create, and we have to start creating. And one of the most important things that I think that we need to start to create is our own outcomes, our own direction, our own independent movement. Now, they always tell you, you know, there's safety in numbers and be a part of the team. There's a place for a team. But it doesn't supersede your strength of your individuality, the individual that you are and the individual abilities that you have, because not everyone has that. If teams were so important, you would have been born as one in multiples of many. See, man tells you those deceptive ways and they just sound good, but they never bear any real fruit. They never really work out. There's always an excuse with it. But what really works? There are no two people that are the same. So there's a power in being different. And we must create our own individual collective agenda to celebrate that and not for that to be controlled by anyone. Listen, everyone. Before we get out of here, we have the Precious Metals Class training. That's $25 a month, a membership, and you get the Precious Metals Class, the Preparedness Class, and the overall, we're going to put people together so that there will be a pool of individuals that you can rely on at the appropriate time with the appropriate means, knowing that they've been preparing and you've been preparing also. So if you're interested in that, you can just email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com. That's wolf6pack1@gmail.com. We are also getting into Forex trading because we want to bring revenue streams into our families, into our possessions, so that we can actually prepare for what's coming, so that when it does come, it doesn't adversely affect us. Just like the one gentleman said, he couldn't find suntan lotion and the deodorant. Well, see, if you had prepared for it beforehand, then you would have had, or you would have been able to mitigate that in a very significant way, to where that problem will be one thing that will be one less problem that you will have to deal with. And you want to do that as soon as you possibly can. Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with having cash, but it's how you use it is what matters. One of the things that you have to understand, you need to have it to maintain your quality of life, your standard of living, and have a small portion of it for your overall emergencies. But you never save in it, because that is actually how they're enslaving you. You need to get it in to be able to get the assets that you and your family will be able to get and be able to endure and get through what's coming, and not only that, seize on the opportunities. one of the things that they quickly said, but they didn't really want to mention in this video, was they said the black market. Let me tell you something about the Venezuelan people. The ones that knew what was coming, and they prepared for it accordingly, they moved themselves into the black market, and they are the ones that are thriving and surviving and are not being as adversely affected by what's going on in Venezuela. In fact, a lot of the resources moving to the black market, because there is a black market and there are those that can operate in it. And if you didn't prepare for it beforehand, the black market will not acknowledge you, nor will you be able to enter in, because you won't have the leverage that the black market will be asking for. That's one of the things that they're vulnerable with. In all economic crisis and collapse, they are vulnerable to the black market. Whenever they bring a prohibition of anything, it establishes a black market. And those people do extremely, extremely well. And I'm not telling you to engage in anything illegal, but I'm telling you to engage in your overall prosperity and your overall survivability. The black market is nothing more than absent of what? The controls, the capital controls. If they can put capital controls on you, then you have the overall right to defend yourself by having the means of getting into an asset exchange with someone else. This is how people thrive in those markets. You have to see it coming, because once, if you don't know that something is coming, then you won't know what to do once it comes. You have to prepare for it beforehand. I want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show today. That's it for the day. I just want to say much love and much respect to you. It's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And remember, before you ask for a blessing, to be a blessing. If you're interested in the Forex trading, you can go to www.imarketslive.international.com, or you can also text or text me at 951-790-8330. Get into this Forex trading, because it will give you the capability to get more cash into your home, protect your family, and even give you the possibility of firing your boss. You listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll talk to you later on. Never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Peace.
It's amazing how you love is kind, love can give and get no gain.